Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church on this Easter Sunday morning. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, and if you're visiting here for the first time, we want to extend a very special welcome to you and to those who may be listening to us online later on in the day. Welcome on this day. Please, if you're able to stay for morning tea after the service, please do so and continue the fellowship afterwards. Well, welcome. Today we have helping us in the service. We have Adele on the keyboard. We're going to have Rosemary on guitar and Young Lan also leading us in singing. Simon's going to read the scriptures to us and Diane will lead us in prayer and I'll be opening the scriptures to us. It's great to see kids here. Hi, it's kids focused as well today and so we're mindful of everyone being present here as a family service. There's activities for the kids in the service and at the back there as well. And I've got something special later on for us to share, kids and me, all right? Just chocolate, all right? No, I'll share it with the adults as well. But welcome to church today. It's lovely to be on this most special day. Well, during the service also today, you'll notice up the front, there's a table and it's got a cloth on it. It means we're going to have a meal together, but nothing, it's not a meal that's going to satisfy in terms of seeing you to lunchtime. It's a token meal. It's a meal of remembrance. It's the Lord's Supper. And we'll remember as we take of the Lord's Supper, God's great love for us in Christ Jesus and of the love we ought to have for one another. So if you loved Lord Jesus and would like to come to the table and take of communion and remember, please do so. There'll be bread available and grape juice. Or if you came in, Margaret would have offered to you, if you were choosing to sit in the pews and take of communion, there's individual cups and wafers at the back there. The sentence of scripture set for today on this Easter Sunday, and it was Good Friday's one as well, was this from 1 Peter chapter 3. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but he was made alive in the spirit. Let's go back those 2024 odd years ago and let's listen to Matthew's account of the events that happened on that Easter Sunday morning. I'm going to invite Simon up now to read from Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 right through to chapter 28. Thanks, Simon.
Matthew 27:62. To 28:20. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate said. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said, and they came to him, clasping his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's say together the bits in the blue. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, please shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, from Psalm 100. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Please stand and let's sing our very first song, "Yours Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. Endless is the victory over death you won. Angels robed in splendor rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave clothes where your body lay."
Yours be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory over death you won. Angels robed in
please turn around, introduce yourself to the people that are nearby of you, and say, "The Lord be with you and also with you." And Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen, young man. He is risen indeed. Please take a seat.
This is the most important story ever told. Although it's very sad at times, it's also the happiest story. That's because it's true. Jesus was a man who travelled around his country Israel 2,000 years ago, teaching about God. Jesus knew God because God was his loving Father. Jesus did incredible miracles, like healing sick people, calming storms, and feeding thousands of people from just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That is amazing! Jesus promised people that God's King was coming and that his kingdom was free for everybody to enter. The crowds loved Jesus, but some religious leaders didn't like what he was teaching, especially his claim to be God. At this time, the people were ruled by the Romans, who were often very nasty and forced everybody to pay lots of tax, which is money you have to pay to the government. Unsurprisingly, people didn't like the Romans and looked forward to the day when God's King would rescue them. Many people followed Jesus, including 12 men who were his close friends. They are known as his disciples. One spring, after teaching for 3 years, Jesus and his disciples went to the city of Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover. Passover reminded the Jewish people how God cared for them a long time ago and how he had rescued them from slavery. Because it was a feast, there was a special meal to remember the agreement God had made with them when he rescued them. As Jesus and his disciples went to Jerusalem, there was a lot of excitement. It was also a time when people offered sacrifices to God in the temple, because they believed that these paid the price for what they had done wrong. Everybody, including Jesus' disciples, hoped that he was the king they were waiting for. Jesus, however, had warned his disciples that it wasn't going to be like that, and that he was going to die and come back to life. The trouble was, they didn't understand him. So, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he didn't ride in as a mighty king on an impressive horse as the people expected, but instead came on a gentle donkey. People cheered, but they were puzzled. The most important place in Jerusalem was the temple. It was an enormous building where sacrifices to God were made. At its very centre was a special room sealed off by a great curtain. Now, although the people knew that God was everywhere, they believed that this room was somewhere very special. It was as though it was the place where God lived. It was such an important place that only one man was allowed to enter it, and then just once a year. Ordinary people, like you and me, weren't allowed to get anywhere near it. Not at all. The temple should have been treated with respect, but when Jesus went to see it, he found it had become like a marketplace. It was full of noisy animals and people selling things to the poor and cheating them. Jesus shouted, "You've let God's house become the home of robbers," and told some people to get out. They didn't like that. Over the next few days, Jesus taught in Jerusalem, but many of the religious leaders wanted to get rid of him. But getting rid of Jesus wasn't easy. He was popular, and Jerusalem was crowded with visitors. Then, one of Jesus' disciples, a man called Judas, came to the bad leaders. "If you pay me money," he said, "I'll show you how to catch Jesus." They agreed to his offer. The sacrifices for Passover were made on the Friday afternoon. The evening before that, Jesus held a special meal with his 12 disciples. He took bread and wine and told everybody that they were symbols of his death. Jesus also told his friends that he would be going away, but he would send them God's Holy Spirit. "I'm going to make a new agreement between God and people," he said. His friends didn't understand what he meant. After the meal, Jesus went out with his friends to a quiet garden where he prayed about what was going to happen. As he finished praying, Judas arrived with soldiers to arrest him. Instead of staying with him, Jesus' friends ran away. Judas realized that he had made a terrible mistake, but by then it was too late. Early on the Friday morning, Jesus was brought in front of the religious leaders. They accused him of saying wrong things about God and of claiming to be God's king. Finally, Jesus told them that he was indeed God's king. That made the religious leaders angry, and they sent Jesus to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, a man who had the power to put Jesus to death. Pontius Pilate soon decided that Jesus was innocent and should be set free, but the religious leaders and a crowd that had gathered demanded that Jesus be killed. The Roman punishment for their enemies was crucifixion, being nailed to a cross made from pieces of wood and left to die. Hoping that he could save Jesus from being crucified, Pilate had him beaten by the soldiers. It wasn't enough for the crowd. "Crucify him!" they shouted. In the end, Pilate ordered that Jesus should be put to death. Now the story gets as sad as any story can be. Jesus was taken away to a place where everybody could see him, and he was nailed to a cross. Crowds gathered around the cross, and people laughed and joked about Jesus in the cruelest way. Where were Jesus' disciples at this horrible time? Sadly, almost all of them had run away. But some of the women who had followed him stayed to watch what happened. As Jesus began to die, an awful darkness fell across the land. Day became night. It was as if Jesus was grabbing hold of every evil and horrible thing in the world and taking it into himself. Finally, Jesus died. As he did, the great curtain in the temple that separated the place where God lived from everybody else was ripped apart by some invisible force. It was a sign that Jesus had made a way to God for everybody. The sacrifices and the temple were never going to be needed again. As the sun began to set, Jesus' body was taken by a good religious leader and wrapped in cloth and taken to a private garden where he was put in a tomb that was like a cave. The tomb was closed by a big heavy stone. Meanwhile, Pontius Pilate ordered soldiers to stand guard around the tomb in case Jesus' body was stolen. Night fell. Saturday was a special day of rest when nothing was allowed to happen. It came and went. The women who followed Jesus knew that because everything had been so rushed, Jesus' body had not been properly prepared for the grave. So early on the Sunday morning, they returned to the tomb with the special spices needed for burial. But when they got there, they found, to their astonishment, that the soldiers had gone and the big heavy stone guarding the tomb had been rolled away. Looking inside, they saw that the body of Jesus was not there, but instead, neatly folded, was the cloth in which Jesus had been wrapped. It all made no sense. Then they saw an angel who told them that Jesus was no longer dead, but alive. The women ran back quickly to where Jesus' disciples were hiding and told them the news, but they found it very difficult to believe. That Easter Sunday, Jesus began appearing to his disciples and followers. At first, they found it hard to believe, but soon realized there could be no doubt that Jesus was really alive again. It was certainly Jesus because he still had the scars on his hands from being nailed to the cross. And he was really alive because they could talk to him, touch him, and eat with him. It was very exciting news because Jesus had fought with death and defeated it. For 40 days, Jesus spoke with his disciples and followers. He turned up in rooms and on roads. He appeared to men and women, and on one occasion to hundreds of people. During this time, Jesus explained to his followers that God's king needed to die in order to be the sacrifice for the wrong things that we have all done. But because he was innocent, death hadn't been able to keep hold of him. Jesus was now the king who could give eternal life to those who trusted him. As Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus also told his followers that they were to share this good news about him with the whole world, and that wherever they went, he would always be with them. He promised that one day he would come back from heaven to earth and make everything in the world new and right. Finally, Jesus met with his followers and told them it was time for him to return to heaven. With those words, he rose into the sky and disappeared from sight. Jesus is God's King, and we can know him and know that he will be with us forever. Pray this prayer if you would like to know Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to forgive me for all the wrong things I have done and come into my life by your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your peace, your presence, and your power. Thank you, King Jesus. Please reign over my life. Amen.
Save the day, take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power? Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus, up, up, and out of the grave. Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior, mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus, up, up, and out of the grave.
He's the death crusher,
death crusher,
sin smasher,
sin smasher.
Who's the mighty Super Savior? Jesus.
He's the
death crusher,
death crusher,
sin smasher.
Day, take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power? Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus, up, up, and out of the grave. Super Savior to the rescue, Super Savior. Jesus, up, up, and out of the
pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for gathering us here this morning on this most special day. Lord, we pray that what we're doing today is pleasing in your sight, for we seek to remember your great love towards us in Jesus and of the hope that we have that's certain. Gracious God, now as the Bible is read and taught to us now, deliver us from unbelief and disobedience. Help us to exhort and encourage one another, that none may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Produce in us the fruit of your Spirit for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yours be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory over death you won. What a great hymn to actually start off today with. I know that hymn is very special to some of you and may have been sung at a very special occasion in your life, but it's certainly on Easter Sunday. It's a great hymn to sing. Yours be the glory, risen conquering Son, endless is the victory over death you won. What is life without you? Aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through your deathless love. A professor of child psychology overheard his neighbour one day disciplining her children. And leaning across the fence, the professor said to the mother of the child, "You are to love children and not discipline them." He may well have been a professor of child psychology, but he obviously had no children of his own. Well, one hot day after concreting his front drive, the professor rested under his tree in the yard. The two children next door peered around the fence and decided to put their feet in the freshly laid concrete. Well, witnessing the children do this, the professor jumped up, yelled at the children, chased them into the yard, caught them and dragged them before their mother to be disciplined. But the mother said, "I thought you said we must love our children and not discipline them." "Yes," said the professor, "but I love in the abstract, not in the concrete." We laugh, but how often has our loving been in the abstract and not in the concrete? It's written in the Bible, "Let us love not just with words, but with action and in truth." It's in 1 John chapter 3. There was a young couple courting during the times of the Great Depression back in 1930s. They wanted to show how much they loved each other. And so they decided one Christmas to show their love for each other sacrificially. In the young man's possession was a gold pocket watch that he possessed. He treasured this pocket watch, something his grandfather had given to him and passed down. Thinking of his fiancée's beautiful long hair, he decided to sell his watch so to buy two combs to go in her hair. The young girl, thinking of her fiancée's treasured gold watch, decided to sell her long flowing hair to buy him a gold chain to go with his watch. Well, come Christmas Day, they opened up their presents together. There were the combs, but no hair. There was the chain, but no watch. They laughed. But soon their laughter turned to tears. Not because they were sad, but because they were very happy. They were very happy because they knew they had been loved and were loved sacrificially. It's Easter, and we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. He loved them to the very end. Jesus was a young man of 33 years of age. But all those 33 years were spent showing his love sacrificially to his own in the world, in his teaching, in his healing, in his listening, in his aiding, in his rebuking and correcting, setting them for an example to follow, and ultimately in his death on the cross. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. The wonderful thing to remember is this, that those who were his own were not only those who were with Jesus during his life here, but you and me and you also. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him young or old, but will have not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If you believe in God and live for Jesus, you are his own, whom he loved to the very end. And you are now right with God and will be with God now and forever, because having loved his own who were in the world, he showed that love to you right to the very end. God's love for us to the end meant going to the cross of Christ. It was no abstract love, but both concrete and sacrificial. But of course, the evidence that clinched the truth of the effectiveness of Jesus' love was the resurrection, the bodily returning to life after death of his body. The woman and the disciples, as we heard in our reading, had gone to the tomb and seen with their own eyes that it was empty. And for the next 40 days, Jesus appeared to them many times. And at one time, how many was it again? Over 500 at one time, according to the Apostle Paul, Jesus met with them. Remember, he was no ghost. He was bodily there. They could talk to him, eat with him, touch him, see him. God is all sovereign, and death is nothing to him. That's what the resurrection reminds us and tells us. His power had raised Jesus, whom they had all seen killed on the cross a few days later and buried in a tomb and a stone put over and a guard put in front of it. They now saw him alive, and the rest of their lives unto their own death was proclaiming this truth. Jesus is indeed Lord. And this was confirmed when he appeared to them in his risen body and said, just prior to ascending back to heaven, he said, you remember the words that Simon read at the very end? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. The death of Jesus had been purposeful. Through it, Jesus died to bear your sins. He took that upon himself and the consequences of that sin. Our sinfulness and indifference to God had been matched by Jesus' perfection, faithfulness, obedience, and love. The message of Easter and what life in all its fullness is this: Jesus is Lord, for both young and for old. And it is through faith in Jesus as Lord that we receive friendship with God through his forgiveness of our sins. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. No more we doubt you, glorious Prince of Life. What is life without you? Aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through your deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to your home above. Yours be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory over death. Lord, you've won. Amen. Isn't our God great? This is what we celebrate. And I trust this is why you've gathered here this morning, to remember and to say thank you and to go away with certain hope. I invite you now to stand and say what Christians have believed and stated about God down through the ages. So please stand with me as we say this creed together. And then we'll sing again. What do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent has he stood accused, beaten, mocked and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. On that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me, now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honour unto thee.
Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus slain.
Oh, he's free.
Together, let's say this little prayer together, and then Diane's going to lead us further in a time of prayer on this Easter Sunday. Together, Almighty God, you know our hearts, and nothing is hidden from you. By your Holy Spirit, cleanse our thoughts and desires so that we may truly love you and bring honour to your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks, Diane. Come and lead us in prayer.
The Lord be with you. Our set prayer for the day. Let us pray that we may know the risen Christ. God our Father, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. In our celebration today, raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Merciful Lord, you alone can order our unruly wills and affections. Teach us to love what you command and to desire what you promise, that among the changes and chances of this world, our hearts may surely be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord our God, we ask you to strengthen and encourage all whose ministries are supported by the Bush Church Aid Society, especially the Pharisee family in Kununurra in northwestern Australia. For Daniel and Rebecca and their children Rachel, Jessica and Emily, refresh them in times of discouragement and loneliness, and call others to stand with them in making Christ known. Grant that through the ministry of the word and sacraments, through caring service and support for young people, the message of your redeeming love may be proclaimed and accepted by the people of our land. We ask these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bring our prayers for the work of Anglicare chaplains, especially David Anthony's at Concord Hospital. Fill him with your truth and clothe him with holiness, that by his life and labours your light may shine through him in all his work, and the coming of your kingdom be advanced. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Spirit of justice and truth, grant to our governments and all who serve in public life wisdom and skill, imagination and energy. Protect them from corruption and the temptation of self-serving. Help us to commit ourselves to the common good, that our land may be a secure home for all its peoples. Through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and divided world. Shed abroad your peace in the hearts of all, and banish from them the spirit that makes for war, that all races and peoples may learn to live as members of one family, and in obedience to your law, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus Christ shared at Nazareth the life of an earthly home. Bless our homes, we pray, that parents and children may be bound to each other by mutual love and honour, and come to a knowledge of your love for them, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God of peace, we pray for families in crisis. Heal the brokenhearted and bind up the wounded. Comfort and sustain them in their need. Give them wise and faithful friends, grace to forgive and be forgiven, and courage for the road ahead. In the name of Jesus, amen. Lord God, the giver of eternal life, we pray for the elderly of our community and thank you for those who, having given a lifetime of service, face the future with faith. We remember too the housebound, the lonely and fearful, the doubting and the despairing. Bless them all and fill with love those who serve them. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Father, hear our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, remember, shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, at the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death for sin. In this symbolic meal originating from Jesus, the Last Supper, with his disciples, we will express and strengthen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace, the gift, the enabling God has shown to us in the death of our Saviour. As we share bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. We are faced again, as we do, with God's love for the unworthy, and are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So knowing the goodness of God and the times we all fail to respond with love and obedience to him, let's confess our sins together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. We praise and thank you, Heavenly Father, for every spiritual blessing in Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins, the gift of your Spirit, and the hope of sharing in your glory. We who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of your Son. He loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to you. Therefore, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, glory be to God in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the meal, Jesus took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Together. Father, we thank you for these gifts of your creation, and pray that we who eat and drink them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. Amen. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. We do this until he returns. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ Jesus died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. I invite the musicians and those who are going to help me at the table, Diane, just to come up first to take communion. And then if you would all follow from then to either to the table, starting from the front and then going backwards, or if you've chosen to stay in your pews with the individual cup, then during the communion service, others are taking of it, you too can take of it privately there with you. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live now his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us in this hope that we have grasped, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Amen. Well, once again, it's great to come together to celebrate this day. And we can do it every Sunday whenever you want to come. Right? At 9:30, we meet together here. If you want to stay for continue the fellowship, please do so over morning tea together, especially if you're visiting today. Rosemary and I would love to meet you and get to know who you are. We'd like to know our regular members too, but especially if you're visiting today, special welcome to you. After church today, Jeff, could you just put your hand up? Coral, could you put your hand up? These two lovely people have volunteered to pray after church for any of you that may would like prayer. It's confidential, and just come to the front here, and these two people will listen to you and pray for you. We thank you for giving regularly towards the work of ministry in this place. And if you choose to do so today and have come prepared, there's a box at the back of the church today to do just that. Or you can thank you for doing so during the free will offerings on the online as well. Regular members, we did say last week, if you thought about it, you may have brought something to give towards the Bible League today. There's a basket at the back because of our youth have raised some funds towards the Bible League and Bibles going to people throughout the world. We said we'd match as best we could what the youth raised, all right? So if you're able to give something towards that, that'd be great. It's a basket at the back. As I said, please stay for morning tea and continue the fellowship. Before we go for morning tea, we have one more final song to sing. And this has been a theme song that we've been singing through the time of Lent here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. And it's called Living Hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. It's a song that reminds us of what we once were, but what God has now done in reconciling us in Christ that gives us certain hope. Please stand.
The chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could. went to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Could imagine the faith of mercy, but God could fathom such endless grace. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin.
For sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. To him who is able now to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.